Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all your movie and TV news with Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. And coming up in this week's show, that's an Incredibles amount of money. Buffy might be changing her name, and Alex Trebek himself is in jeopardy. All this and more, but first, a bit of show news. I know we've split into two separate shows, one for news, one for reviews, and the reviews is supposed to be Thursday, and yet we're moving it to Friday, and it's all Lee's fault.
You're welcome.
Because he's got a football show. It's on the network now. See?
Woo!
Tis a thing. The Seattle Seahawks show. Tune in for that. It's on Thursdays.
Yes. The review show will be on Friday. Three listeners. Yeah, three listeners. I appreciate it. Thank you. Checks in the mail. Rob, Todd, and Ted. That's it. Thank you.
As opposed to the check being sent to MoviePass?
Yes.
Which is just not... Things are going bad when Todd cancels it.
Yeah, I canceled. Okay, we've talked about MoviePass, and I've been a big supporter and been very critical of all the...
He keeps trying. He really does.
Anti-MoviePass things, because predicting doom and gloom. Because they were predicting doom and gloom months ago. Well, it turns out they were right, but I didn't really see much point in kicking it when it still had a chance. So now it's become this fun little game of Russian roulette, because you open up MoviePass and you look to see, for instance, 2 days ago, there were no showings whatsoever available on MoviePass in my area at any of the theaters listed. None. Which isn't really accurate, because, of course, they were playing movies. They just weren't available on MoviePass. A couple days before that, every film, and I had talked about this last week, every film that was available had either the 351 or the 401 surcharge. Even the 11:20 a.m. showings for really small independent films, which certainly were not going to have big crowds. So earlier today, I had checked the listings, and oddly enough, the afternoon screenings of all films were not available, but a couple evening showings were, which doesn't really make a lot of sense, because those are going to be the bigger draws. But for whatever reason, they decided, oh, we'll make those available. Well, I've opened it up again, and now those are no longer available. So I've gone through four different theaters, and nothing is available at any of these screenings on MoviePass. So I have canceled it. But it's still available to me, assuming anything would work, up until August 10th. And it's not like, oh, they're not going to give you anything because you canceled the thing. It was working before. So it's apparently they've run out of money again.
No, they haven't. They haven't run out of money, because they charged me twice this month. So they're...
Awesome.
They
awesome.
Now have $9.95 charges twice. So they're making their money.
I should be able to see one film on your $9.95 then. I'm very upset. I'm going to write them.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, there's no way you can stay in business with this kind of... Is it going to work? Am I going to be able to get to see anything? And their official statement is, well, not all films at all showings will be available at every time. Like, literally, you're just playing roulette. It's like, okay, I have no idea if I'm going to be able to see a movie. I'll just try right now and see, maybe the 720 showing is available. Maybe I won't get a surcharge. Maybe I won't. I mean, they have handled this.
I think you meant 420 showing.
420 showings are always available. They've handled this so poorly. They deserve to shut down. This is after they had a reverse stock split, and their stock price plummeted immediately within a week. So... it's really unfortunate, because it was wonderful while it lasted, but obviously their vision for how this was going to make money was incorrect, because they never seemed to put that into effect anyway. And they clearly didn't have an idea of how they were going to keep things going, and they really mishandled everything in the past month. I mean, it's just ridiculous to basically come out with statements saying, well, we're not sure what we're going to be able to offer you. Okay, well, there's really no reason for anyone to sign up for it now, is there? If you don't know what films are going to be available, that's insane. I am going to try the AMC A-List, which is twice as much money, but probably actually will survive for a while, because it's owned by the theater, and it's just an internal draw, so it's like a loss leader form. Yeah, it's three movies a week, but three movies a week is probably pretty much okay for everybody. There's no restrictions on, oh, I won't get to see Mission Impossible, or I won't get to see anything at all this day, as if it was Movie Pass. It applies to 3D, it applies time, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm sorry to see MoviePass go, but the way they've handled their business in the past month has been atrocious. And yes, you guys still owe Lee $9.95. So there.
You never know. They could still make a miraculous comeback somehow because Elon Musk will buy them. No, I'm kidding. but speaking of miraculous comebacks, and this just now came across, I didn't put it in the show notes because there wasn't time. CBS has just announced that for their new, it's not their new anymore, their all-access streaming service, a second Star Trek series. This one is going to be, it's a spin-off of one we've already got. Patrick Stewart is coming back as Captain Picard. And it's Captain Picard, the spin-off, basically. What happens to Captain Picard after The Next Generation?
So at this point, they can just call it the Star Trek streaming channel. Because actually, that's their third, because they got the anthology shows listed. Unless they've scrapped that and decided to go with the ongoing adventures of Picard. But that's... I'm not that all that fired up about it, but I know a lot of people will be. I mean,
I'd like to see. I love watching Patrick Stewart.
That's a cool move.
It is. I'm actually disappointed because you started that with "Don't call it a comeback." I was really hoping LL Cool J would be Captain Picard. I was hoping that's what you were leading up to.
Actually, he's playing Counselor Troy.
He actually does act. He'd actually be pretty good.
LL Cool J is good. Yeah, I like him.
He is. I enjoy it. Other things to enjoy, and this has potential, there is a DC animated movie that wasn't on the schedule. Ooh. But it doesn't matter. It's coming out anyway, October 9th. It's a full-length Constantine animated movie called City of Demons. Which
is cool.
I'm interested. Still has Matt Ryan doing the voice of John Constantine, who I thought did a spectacular job in what little live action series there was. You guys interested? I'm interested. I think this will be good.
I'm definitely interested, and I think that's really interesting that they kept Matt Ryan because that.
I think the DC people wanted the live action series to keep going, but no one will do it, which is annoying.
It's more exciting because it's animated instead of DC trying to make a film.
So. That's true.
That is true. Maybe Elon Musk will take over. Which, when you mentioned Elon Musk and MoviePass, he actually was asked about that, and he had one word reply in social media, which was no.
No.
Yeah. That is cool. I like Constantine, and Matt Ryan continuing the voice is excellent.
Now, here's a piece of DC animated news that may or may not be good. It's a point of view thing. Teen Titans Go came out.
And it's gotten really good reviews.
Well, kind of.
On Metacritic, at least.
On Metacritic. The two
Urban,
people
Urban Meyer it, gave it a great review. He said he didn't see any violence at all in the film.
What? Anyway, there's a post-credit scene that has gotten a lot of people excited, except we're not really sure where it's going. Titans Go is a really stupid reboot of the Teen Titans series that was started around, 2000 or something. And had a really weird art style to it, but the storylines were good. And my kids loved it. And that version of the Titans showed up at the end of Teen Titans Go and said, "We may have found a way back," leading people to think, oh, a sixth season that's going to come out on the DC streaming network. You guys have any ideas on this, or have you heard anything other than what I've heard?
I have not heard that. That would be cool.
I'm in favor.
Anything Patton Oswalt is attached to with the animated voice is good. I'm excited about.
Patton Oswalt was attached?
He is to the movie. I'm assuming he will be to the show.
Is he animated?
Nick Cage was in the movie, but I kind of doubt that they'd bring him along for the TV.
Well, but Cage is different. Cage is different than Oswald. He does a lot of voiceover stuff. So
okay. Anyway, other one bit of DC news, and this is actually good news. They announced something on the Batman movie, in that the script is almost done, and that's not the good news. The good news is Matt Reeves says it is definitely, absolutely not another Batman origin story.
Which is great news, yeah.
That is spectacular news, because we don't need another one. We've only had, we've had 10 Batman movies, and 9 of them have been origins. I mean, that's just...
Seems that way. Yeah, I was not at all thrilled that they were going to do a Batman Year One. It's like, no, we don't need that.
No, don't do that.
That is indeed excellent news.
So maybe they're starting to head in the right direction. This is me not holding my breath. Anyway, moving on to Marvel, who had a little bit of news this week, and it comes out of Sony, but it has to do with the MCU anyway. It's another Spider-Man spin-off movie, this time starring Kraven the Hunter, who I thought was a cool character, and I was really hoping he would be in the second Homecoming movie, or whatever they're calling it. So is Kraven worthy of a movie to himself, and are they just going to keep taking spider villains and giving them spin-off movies, leaving the Spider-Man movies to have who in them?
Sure seems that way. I really like the character, and I can kind of see, it's like, okay, it might be an interesting movie, but it certainly would be more interesting if this was a Spider-Man movie with Kraven, and especially when this one is, he's on a world jaunt.
Hello.
Kind of seems it would make sense. This would be a great time to put in Kraven the Hunter, but.
Well, maybe put him in and then spin him off at Sony.
Maybe. Yeah, it's hard. And maybe they are, and that just hasn't come out about. Tom Holland hasn't gotten that part of the script, so he hasn't been able to tell everybody, oh, Kraven the Hunter's in this one, too.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like, that's a cool character, but. Yeah, does he really need his own movie? That's just kind of... Sony's making some odd choices.
Well, you know, Silver Sable and Black Cat getting a spinoff. Venom I can see because he's popular enough.
Yeah.
Kraven would need to... I would think Kraven would have to be in an MCU movie, or at least a Spider-Man movie, before you spin him off.
It just seems a little weird.
It's odd. Kind of like Andy Serkis. He's a bit odd. See, I'm full of segues today. I don't know why.
You know, I wonder, you mentioned that. I wonder if he's really odd, though, or if he's just like, because he always plays these odd characters or CGI characters. He's probably the most normal guy in the world if you ever met him.
Saw him on Colbert once, and he seemed perfectly normal until Colbert went, can you read this as Gollum? And then he hops up in the chair and assumes the Gollum position, and
that was excellent.
Fefe. That was hilarious.
That was wonderful.
Last week we said that his version of Mowgli was picked up by Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Now his version of Animal Farm has been picked up by Netflix. So Netflix is turning into the Andy Serkis channel, which actually I could probably watch that. That would be pretty cool.
I was like, yeah, I'm okay with that. That'd be all right. Interesting.
I have not. I don't know. Have they even filmed any of this yet?
I don't know. The only Animal Farm, and George Orwell is my favorite writer ever, if people don't know that. But the only Animal Farms I've ever seen are animated. Like, I've never seen a live-action Animal Farm.
This one's supposed to be. Well, CG motion.
Right.
Stop capture and stuff.
My fear is that Orwell, when Orwell wrote Animal Farm, he was really writing it about... He was a socialist himself, but he really hated the way Soviet, quote-unquote, communism had become communism, because it wasn't. But my fear is that a lot of people in today's day and age, with how we, you know, people believe in to Trumpisms and things like that, is that the book itself, whatever it's made into visually, will lose its effect because Four Legs Good, Two Legs Bad, people might be reading that into or watching it and being like, oh, yeah, so this is good. Yeah, Trump is right. And it's like it's the total opposite of that. So I'm just kind of curious as far as how people will, if it's actually made, and I'm sure with Andy Serkis involved, it'll be something good. But I'm wondering if the interpretation will be read correctly by the people viewing it.
A lot of people won't view it correctly because they don't view real reality correctly. So yeah.
But I think for more of that, cool. Listen to the FWAT show. But yeah, that I think doing it as a live action thing, that's going to be creepy.
Yeah, but in a good way. I think it could easily be, now that we have the CGI effects and the production value we have, it could easily be made into a live action film. Yeah. Just like, Gollum, just like you mentioned, that that character came off the screen as a real character, even though it wasn't. And I can see Animal Farm being the same way. And I feel like the time is right to make it into something like that. My fear, just as an Orwell lover, goes back to the fact as far as George Orwell, if he were still alive, viewing it and being like, I'm not sure people are reading this correctly. That would be my only fear. But I think the production value is there to make it effective and good.
I think it's got potential, and we'll find out once Netflix releases it, whenever that's going to be. There's not a date attached at the moment.
Right. And Renee Zellweger is attached to Snowball. I'm making that up.
Anyway, your segues are so bizarre. Anyway. Something that has come
There's
out.
There's no segue. It was just There's an observation. No,
that's my point. Where it's the hell is he going with that?
It was a bone moment.
It's an interjection. That's all I do. You are the Mike Greenberg of this show. I'm just interjecting. As I told my girlfriend. It's like,
I fell off the segue. What the hell?
There's a lot of stuff you guys talk about. I'm like, I have nothing to do. And I'm like, I'm interjecting stuff that's like this. And it's like somebody out there, one person of the millions who are listening, is like, oh, I get it. And that's the guy that lives in a cave. And it's like, that's my audience.
But
we
love it that you listen.
Me personally, thank you. I do listen to the show afterwards. I think I'm horrible, but you guys are great. But I do laugh at my
You're the guy who listens and laughs at the jokes.
I'm the guy who listens.
In the cave. That's awesome.
Movie
oh,
too.
That's you. Oh, filled out the survey and everything. Thank you.
Anyway, thanks, Ted, for listening.
Speaking of things that came out and apparently people listened to, The Incredibles 2 became the fastest animated movie to hit the $1 billion mark. And I think only one of us actually went to see it.
I saw it.
I've seen it.
See, that's my point. But yeah, that's impressive, actually. Disney's fifth animated, the 18th ever billion-dollar release, and third this year. Only all three of this year's are Disney's, with Black Panther and Infinity War. Because Disney needs the money for what now?
To buy Fox.
To pay back George Lucas.
For raping his Star Wars. That's another.
I think he did that on his own. I think he self-raped himself on that before it was ever sold.
This was a family show at one point, wasn't it? Anyway,
self-rape. I mean, that's a family thing. I'm not going any further with that.
That's definitely a family thing because it's definitely within the family. I mean, it has to be by definition.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, our president said his own daughter was hot. So I'm not going.
Speaking of things that came out a long time ago. Wow. Yeah, Todd mentioned this earlier. 2001, A Space Odyssey is coming to IMAX on August 24th for a week.
That's exciting.
It's going to look beautiful, but I'm still probably going to fall asleep.
Exactly. I totally agree. It is beautiful. It's a great film.
It is.
The first time I saw it, but I don't want to see it again because exactly for that effect. I know there's going to be there's a whole lot of colors and sound. It's a Philip Glass section of the film. I'm going to fall asleep during this.
You two are Philistines. I've only fallen asleep during it once. So, it's a really strange film, isn't it? Because I mean, it is beautiful, and it is in some ways it's one of the greatest films ever. And yet there are so many long, drawn out sequences. It's just a very strangely paced film.
And by strange, he means slow.
Very, very, very slow. Yeah, very slow.
I mean, of course, seems to move faster than this.
Ooh, well, that says a lot. But Seventh Seal is slowly paced as well. But it's a great film. There's more stuff going on. 2001. Yeah, I'm a Philistine. To me, it's a great film for being a film. Maybe the same reason that when you see AFI's list, Citizen Kane is the greatest film ever, and to me it is the greatest film ever made as far as cinematic effect. But a lot of people are going to view it and they're going to be like, I'm not interested in this. And that's kind of the way I feel about 2001.
But for those people who do like 2000, I mean, we all like it, but
yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Not to the extent that you guys are saying, but yeah, it is. It you can definitely fall asleep during this film. But if you're ever going to watch it, this is the way to watch it. Absolutely.
If you've never had the opportunity to see it, what cave do you live in? Oh, wait, that's the person in the cave that listens to Lee.
That's me. I'm you know.
This would be the way to see it the first time if you haven't seen it before.
Because it is an experience.
Another movie that's getting released for one night only on Thursday, September 27th. A high-def version of the Transformers animated movie from 1986. Did we need that? I don't think we needed that.
Probably not.
It was also depressing. They killed Optimus Prime. Spoiler. Yeah, no, it's not. The movie came out in 86. Most people who would go see it now weren't born then. You've had the opportunity.
So you spoiled it for them. Yes, actually, you saved them from watching something that really does not need to be in high def, because there's not going to be much of a difference between that and watching it on a VHS tape.
Exactly.
Here's a segue for you.
Okay.
A really poor
two wheels and a gyroscope.
I was just offered, and Rob will like this, even though it doesn't help the show at all. But I'm about to pick up a stereo from the 1970s that has an 8-track, and you guys were talking about VHS. So the only 8-track I still have, and I'm being honest, is Fly By Night by Rush. So this
I'm going to kill you for this next time I see you.
yeah. So the 8-track, the people who are giving it to me, all they have is gospel. So the only thing I will be able to play on this 8-track, besides the record, because it does have a record player, is Rush's Fly By Night.
Which is a great album.
Yeah. But VHS also, as we mentioned, I think, last week or the week before, who has VHSs anymore? Who has 8-tracks?
Yeah. So, no, I'll take you one slightly better. When I worked in radio, we used 8-track a lot, and I still have several 8-tracks that have me on it and no way of transferring it to anything else, as well as some reel-to-reel stuff. I can't find one.
That's pretty nice. There.
It's wow.
There's a loot of 40 8-track tapes. First thing that pops up on eBay, 40 8-tracks. $10, baby.
They're all gospel.
Oh, yeah, exactly. What are they?
I have no idea, but it's from Uncle Steve's House of Cool Stuff, so it must be good.
It's Billy Ripken sings the second baseman blues.
No, it's worse. It's Uncle Steve. That's the problem.
Well, there's, let's see, there's Kansas. I know you love Kansas. There's Mandrill. There's Fog Hat. The soundtrack from Grease.
Guys.
Do we have a movie show?
Stories left. Can we finish?
Billy Joel, The Stranger. Anyway, yes.
I'll take The Stranger.
Okay. Last week we talked about Norman Lear rebooting all his stuff from the 70s. See, that's as close to a segue as we're going to get.
Ever.
He announced this week they are not remaking All in the Family. Absolutely not. And I said, good. I heard a bunch of reboot stuff this week, and I'm not going to talk about them because I don't care enough. But I'll mention the list of they're remaking Them, and we know about the Lord of the Rings TV series. They're remaking Bond, allegedly starting from the beginning. Superman, starting over, allegedly. Nightmare on Elm Street. We mentioned Star Trek earlier in the show, although I had it on the list before Patrick Stewart said anything. Suspiria, which I'm not sure I had heard of in the first place. An Indecent Proposal. Come on, that wasn't that long ago.
No, that wasn't. Suspiria is one of the great Italian horror films. And when it first came out, went with some friends because I'd heard wonderful things about it. And
wait,
man,
I thought that was a Phil Collins song.
So close. It's so close.
But only if you listen to it on 8-track.
They hated that movie. God, they hated that movie. Yeah. It's a horrible thing is going on in a girl's school. So
it's probably on Elm Street.
Probably true life. But so that's cool that there's a remake coming of Suspiria. Because it didn't come out 2 weeks
Trump
ago.
Is the dean in that movie.
So. That would totally make sense. Yeah. Dean Warmer.
Finish out the show with this. Bit of TV news. Alex Trebek.
Oh, hold on. Can I interrupt you? You got Buffy on there. You got Buffy on the thing.
Oh, right? I missed the Buffy story, didn't I?
Yeah, because Donna is like totally waiting on the Buffy thing. Because I mentioned, hey, Buffy, they're rebooting. Joss Whedon's involved. It looks like Buffy is going to be the actually lead is going to be African American, so it won't be Sarah Michelle Gellar. So what do you have?
It's not going to be Buffy. They're even talking about changing the name of the character. So if you're going to reboot a series, this is the way to do it. You know, take the general premise, wipe everything out, get all new characters, but you know, keep the premise, but start completely over. Don't go, this is Buffy and this is the redheaded girl and this is Xander and this is I don't know the
Angel
name.
And yada yada yada. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm like, I don't know any of the other. I think there was a guy named Spike.
There's a guy named Spike. Yes.
Isn't that an ironic name for a vampire? Because that's how you kill them, isn't it?
They're not all vampires, but yeah, in that case, yeah.
Well, he was though.
He was, yeah.
Angel
was also a vampire. So
right, and then he went to work for the FBI with Zooey Deschanel's sister.
Yes, he did.
Anyway, not the point. that was the television thing, which leads back to Alex Trebek leaving Jeopardy. Is that going to be weird? Because they're going to keep the show going.
Depends on who takes his place.
He has mentioned two people that he wants to do it.
Kevin Hart.
You're not that far off. One of them is Alex Faust, who I had never heard of. Apparently, he's the play-by-play announcer for the Los Angeles Kings.
Okay.
Which is
That's interesting.
From out of nowhere pick.
Yes,
it is. And he has also suggested Laura Coates, who is a legal analyst who's on CNN.
He has suggested, is what you're saying. So does he have
suggested both of them?
And I'm assuming Trebek at this point, it's really the show. But, you know, does his suggestion really have anything to do with
Who they actually the show pick? As being the on-air person, I don't know if he's going to still be like an executive producer.
I'm sure he will. I mean, it's got to be him at this point, right? I mean, he's been on it for so long. I just wonder if it's like whoever takes out, because Jeopardy is a fun show. I mean, even after all these years, it's still entertaining.
And Right.
Does Trebek make it entertaining himself? I mean, sure, they could get another host who could be decent.
They can get another host to replace Trebek. Trebek took a while. Because I'm a little older than you guys, it took a while for Trebek to settle into the role. And honestly, because like for the first couple of years, seriously, he was not Trebek like now. He didn't see. He wasn't as smooth.
Yeah, the mustache.
He wasn't as glib. He wasn't quite as funny.
Well, because there were those times he missed, and Ron Jeremy actually filled in for him.
So those were excellent episodes, and the categories were amazing. Trebek is not, he's the star of the show, but the star of the show is the format and the guests. And it's
well said.
Right. It will be fine without Alex Trebek. And I'm not knocking Trebek because Trebek is great in that role and he really developed. I mean, he's terrific. He's like, to me, he's the best game show host ever. And that's kind of like, maybe seems like faint praise, but it isn't to me. I mean, it takes a really special skill to do that.
No, and so. I think what you're trying to say is he doesn't try to, even though he is in control of that show at this point in his career and career of the show. The point is he doesn't try to make the show about him. He's still
carrying absolutely the show, which is the whole point of a game show host in the first place.
Of course, right, because the contestants should be the stars and the format is the star, and he enables that beautifully. Some suggestions that are out there, these are not Trebek's, but like Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper's not going to do it because he's making too much money doing what he's doing and a serious role.
Rachel Maddow. He's a Vanderbilt. He could do whatever he wanted to. He doesn't have to do anything. He could just
true.
Have people show up to Biltmore and make money.
And Laura Coates does pop up on this again. So it'll be really interesting to see how they go, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see that it's someone no one has ever heard of, because Trebek, he was on other game shows, but Trebek wasn't exactly a household name when he took this thing over either. So
give it to Ken Jennings.
that's a possibility.
I like the idea.
What if you just cancel the show? I mean, does it really have to go on? I mean, it makes them a ton of money.
It's not his show.
But at this point, it kind of is, though, isn't it? I mean, isn't he like the executive producer, and really isn't it his show?
I mean, he might be an executive producer. He's not the owner. I mean, that's a Merv Griffin production thing, although Merv has been gone for like 20 years.
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah.
Merv Jr.
Yeah, so it's not his say whether they would cancel. And there's no way they're going to. I mean, it's making way too much money.
Maybe. He's really the Al Davis of the show. And what happens when you hand it over to your son?
Yeah, we know what happens. Very true.
And on that note, I think I'll tell you to tune in Friday to the review show, and we'll see you next week for more news, of which there will be more. And stuff.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.